Now, back to Cleveland Browns Daily, live from the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis, Indiana.
Shop the biggest selection of apparel and merchandise at the Cleveland Browns Team Shop. You visit the Team Shop in downtown Cleveland at First Energy Stadium. It's open 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Wednesday through Sunday, the off-season hours. Or you can shop online on the Browns mobile app or at shop.clevelandbrowns.com. And our road to the draft coverage, driven by Liberty Ford, continues from Lucas Oil Stadium. It's the site of the 2014 NFL Scouting Combine. We've told you that this is a huge, gigantic, gigunda media event, and all kinds of media from all places throughout the country are here. And joining us now is someone who does an unbelievably great job as an NFL insider for CBS Sports. You can see his work also on CBSSports.com. He's been a longtime friend in this business, and he joins us on the set. And I know he's tight with my regular co-host, Nathan Zagura, who, by the way, your buddy Nathan is hanging out in the frickin' Bahamas now.
Yeah, he's probably eating angry lobsters, too.
You know, right, your favorite.
He's all about the angry lobsters.
Yeah.
If you can get it down there, he'll get it.
Your favorite meal in New York.
Yes.
But he's living large over there while the rest of us work.
Yeah, so we're in Indianapolis.
Have you texted him and given him crap for
you
this?
Know what? I've been a little busy, but after this radio interview, I will definitely make time to bust his cojones a little bit.
He's got to hear from you.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
This is ridiculous.
But, you know, he's probably off the grid.
Oh, you know
his phone probably fried. The sun's so warm there, it probably fried
Mai
his phone.
Mai Tai, the umbrella,
yeah,
he
spilled a fruity drink all over his phone.
Hanging. I think today's the wedding, Miz's wedding, his wrestling buddy from Cleveland.
Who's the Miz and the Mrs.
The Miz, and now it's the Miz and the Mrs. Jason Lacunfora again with us. Jason, just the incredible monster event that this thing has become.
Crazy.
What was your first year of covering the combine?
You know, it wasn't that long ago. It was 2004.
Oh, really?
Say.
Okay. I thought it was earlier than that.
No, it wasn't that long ago.
But even since then.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
10 years.
It's crazy. It's ridiculous. The NFL could sell anything, I think, at this point.
Yeah.
Well, heck, they had people pay to go to Media Day, right?
Right.
There's people
did.
Paid.
Paid to watch the Media Day
to
at the Super Bowl.
Paid to watch people talk to people. In NFL-issued sweatshirts.
So you could pretty well get away with anything.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we want to ask you, number one, your thoughts. A lot's changed with the Browns since we last talked with you. And how stunned, surprised are you? Because I know you know these people quite well, Joe Banner and Michael Lombardi, no longer with the Browns.
Yeah, I mean, if you would have told me a week or 10 days before Mike Pettine got hired that this happened, I would have been mildly surprised, but based on sort of rumblings I'd already heard, certainly not shocked. For it to come when it came was shocking.
Timing. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you got through the hire. I know people talked to Haslam at the Super Bowl, and he seemed to be excited about what they had together there and the right people to move forward. And then I don't know if it was just sort of residual issues from the coaching search that repercolated or something within him just said, I need to change this power structure now. Rather than some other time. I think it was just the timing in that you had a coach who was comfortable working under the structure you had assembled because those people had just hired him.
Right.
I think that was shocking.
And to see where it leaves you, because in Cleveland it's played out as being a positive. I mean, most folks who have kind of digested what's happened, and a lot's happened. You blow up most of the coaching staff, including the head coach, and you blow up the front office. The reaction initially nationally was dysfunctional Browns, crazy stuff happening. That's no way to have success. Now, we don't know if it's going to lead to
success.
Exactly. However, there was more negative than positive. Locally, people were happy to basically say goodbye to Joe Banner and Michael Lombardi. They took it as this is a positive move for the football team. That's how it's being received.
Yeah, and I mean, now this will come out in the wash. You know,
right.
we'll see what this regime does and what it's capable of. It's hard to compare too much to the old regime because outside of some bizarre coaching searches, I think most of what they did made sense, or a lot of it worked. And the Richardson trade certainly worked. And I think Hoyer looked like a good acquisition. I mean, to get him for what they got him for, unfortunately he gets hurt. But it's going to be hard to sort of make those judgments. But, you know, Mike Pettine's going to have to prove that he is an NFL head coach. I think Ray Farmer is totally positioned to succeed. Bill Koharik will be a tremendous sounding board for him. I think the world of Billy, that's a great addition. There's some potential there. But, I mean, if you're going to go and look at that coaching staff right now and compare it to the old staff in its totality, I don't know. You're going to have a hard time getting me right now to buy in and say, yeah, they've upgraded across the board.
Norv Turner was a pretty good coach.
Yeah, and, I think the defensive coordinator was pretty
–
they struggled a little bit in the second half of the year,
yeah.
But I think Ray Horton has established himself as one of the high-end defensive coordinators in this game.
They didn't struggle to get jobs either after
– Didn't take very long.
After they were fired by the Browns. Jason Lockenfora, CBS Sports Insider, NFL Insider, CBSSports.com. You check out his great work there. Joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Vic Carucci with you with Eric Metcalf here at the Scouting Combine in Indianapolis. So, Jason, when you talk about Mike Pettine and the readiness to be a coach, what's going through your mind when you say that? What are some of the things you're not sure? So what are some qualities or ideas, thoughts, issues, concerns, whatever you might have of what you know about this guy that he might have to, challenges he might have to face or things he might have to overcome to be a successful
coach? Well,
besides inexperience.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how much of it is particularly endemic to him, but I think it's a lot of what happens for these guys where you're so ingrained on one side of the ball. Now you need to be able to relate to everybody. You need to be able to relate to a quarterback. You need to be the absolute leader of men. You need to have the wherewithal within you to kind of be the buck stops here kind of guy. You have to be completely accountable. I think you have to, for a guy like Mike Pettine, may have to dial down his personality in certain degrees or, hold some things in check in order, again, to relate to all 53 guys and try to get all 53, to buy in. And I mean, let's face it, they haven't had a successful coach in Cleveland for a long, long time.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just the reality of what's been going on there. I mean, there hasn't been a lot of continuity and there hasn't been a lot of success. And I don't think you can pin that on each of those individuals entirely. I think it's part of a larger organization that has struggled to find balance and find continuity and find a plan that they could stick to over a period of time and have it bear fruit. So
is the table well set for Ray Farmer and Pettine, but I mean Farmer leading the charge for personnel acquisition to find success on a shorter path, given the 10 draft picks that they have, two in the first round, given that there's quarterback talent, receiver talent, I mean skill position talent galore supposedly in this draft, and given all the cap space, $40-odd million in cap space that they
have. Yeah, I mean, I think they are. I think as an organization, on the business side, I mean, I look at all this signage here. I look at all these sponsorships behind you guys. I don't remember seeing that 5-6 years ago,
Right.
I don't remember that under Lerner, Yeah. So I think the revenue streams, even though there hasn't been great success on the team, when you talk to people who analyze them from a business standpoint, they would say that it's grown in leaps and bounds through sponsorships, through finding ancillary ways to bring money into the organization. Now you have to funnel that over to the football side, and one thing Jimmy Haslam's shown is he's not afraid to spend money to get people out of his building. So,
right.
So I think all that bodes well. The draft picks, as you've said, they've replenished. They weren't in love with the 2013 draft. They did what they had to do. They thought they'd be best positioned to do whatever they wanted to do in 2014. They're able to do that now. You certainly have to execute. You have to find the right players. You have to be successful maneuvering up and down the board draft day. I think in that regard, from a lot of standpoints, they're well positioned, but they still don't have a quarter. I mean, you guys saw the offense last year, even with Norv Turner. I mean, the personnel is not there yet. They need help on the offensive line. They need a quarterback. They need at least one other receiver. And then on the defensive side of the ball, they've got some guys they need to retain. You got to extend the center, I think. I'm sure they'll franchise T.J. Ward. So they've got work to do.
Yeah, I was going to ask you what you were hearing on the front spot. And before I want to be remiss, I don't want to be remiss to say this. Actually, when Randy Lerner, before selling this team to Jimmy Haslam, this particular radio show,
he actually started this.
But it was a one-hour show, and he grew it. It grew under the Joe Banner, Jimmy Haslam administration, and added Nathan Zagura as our co-host. So, yes, they've done bigger, better, and the sponsorship
the esteemed
thing.
Andy Hecht, and the brains behind the operation.
We brought him in by
Joe Banner.
Stole him from NFL Network. A lot of talent.
Very shrewd move.
It's been very aggressive. There's no question. Just to what you were saying regarding the free agents, Alex Mack, T.J. Ward, how are those things going to play out for this team based on what you're hearing?
I don't know that at this point we're so late in the game that you're able to put enough on the table for Alex Mack not to at least take a sniff on the other side and look around the corner and March 11th, walk up to that line and see what else is out there. But I certainly get the impression that they're very willing to do what they think they have to do to keep him. You don't want to franchise a center because you're basically franchising him at left tackle money. So the franchise tag doesn't make sense there. I think the franchise tag is much more manageable for the safety. But I get the sense that you know, Jimmy Haslam's very committed to continuing to spend big bucks to get this thing right. The issue is when they go into free agency because of the lack of success. I mean, you guys know you have to overpay drastically to get people to come here. I mean, that's just where they are. It's not just them. That's a lot of organizations
and
a lot of sports. It's hard to get over that hump and turn that around. But in the meantime, you've got to keep what you have there. And you know, I do think there's a probably more positive inertia to getting a deal done in this new regime with Mac than there was in the old one, because there were some bruised feelings that when those guys came in, they didn't immediately run to, you know, go to Alex Mack and call Marv Demoff and say, you are a part of our future. I don't know if we can do something now. The lines of communication weren't immediately open. And the longer that time went by without there being at least a phone call of intent, the more it got, well, we're not going to do a deal in season. And then when you get after the season, you start getting closer and closer to that deadline.
So get through those reparations and then get on with the business of getting them signed. And like you said, it's not like he won't open the wallet.
Right.
Or the vault or whatever adjective you want to use. Thank you very much.
We appreciate it. My pleasure, guys.
He is Jason Lockenfora, NFL insider for CBS Sports, CBSSports.com, joining us on our lengthy guest list that we want to thank. George Whitfield, quarterback coach, working with Johnny Manziel, was on our show. Of course, Ray Farmer, Browns general manager, also with us. Sal Palantonio from ESPN. We had him aboard and enjoyed the visits of all of these guests who have been part of the show. Enjoyed hanging out here with Eric Metcalf today as a co-host, man. This was fun.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure.
And we'll do this again tomorrow. How's that sound?
See you tomorrow.
And more stuff from Eric Metcalf, by the way, you can check out on ClevelandBrowns.com. The two of us doing some video work together. He's doing some, you can see it posted on the site now, some drills. What were the drills you went through today?
I did the vertical jump and a standing broad jump.
Beautiful. All right, we want to thank Megan Rock for tweeting throughout the show, and she's putting together Browns Daily Wrap, which will be posted on ClevelandBrowns.com later. Want to thank our esteemed producer, Jason Gibbs, back in the studio in Cleveland for all his work. We'll be back with you again tomorrow from Lucas Oil Stadium. Again, the site of the 2014 NFL Scouting Combine. Stay tuned for Hooley and Gerard. That's coming up next on ESPN 850 WKNR.
The preceding program was a production of the Cleveland Browns and a part of the Browns Media Network.